Can you guys hear that says that it's going to be recorded?
Yes.
Oh, good. If we get on and you don't hear that sometimes, somebody tell me. I get so interested in what I want to talk about, I forget. Okay, great. So here we are on our healing group healing foundation calls. And let's just take a moment. Let's do something slightly different because usually what we'll do is a little bit of a quick centering. Yeah, I will do that. I will do a very short centering. And so this just gives us a chance to kind of shed the day, to get 100% present by quieting our outer body and getting into our inner body so that we're speaking from a very high conscious place. So just take a minute, close our eyes, and take a nice deep breath in. Oh, and just let that out with a nice sigh. And another deep breath in. And just let it go. For soon I know I shall be at the center of my being, the holiest of holy places. I know that each and every time that I center myself, I become more centered than ever before. To begin this centering, going into the depth of my being, I first begin with the color red, and I visualize this most brilliant and beautiful red color. Red is the color of my outer physical body. I relax my body and just let go. I relax my body from head to toe. And in my mind's eye, I go from the top of my head. Just float down through my body and release and relax all the muscles within. Red is the color of the outer physical body. I need only visualize this most brilliant and beautiful red color. This vibration color, red, to quiet and still my body. Moving ever inward, I next visualize the color orange. Orange is the color of emotions. I still and quiet all my emotions. I release all my emotional attachments to all events, people, and places in my past. I just let go, for I truly desire to presence myself in this moment now. Orange is the color of emotions. When I want to presence myself now, I simply visualize this most brilliant and beautiful natural orange color. Moving ever inward now, I next visualize the color yellow. Yellow, like the sun itself, fills my very vision. Yellow is the color of my mind. I notice the chatter in my mind now, and I just notice it. I don't fight it or try to stop it. I just let it go. Maybe I just envision it leaving my brain, going off into the etheric world. Maybe I put it on a cloud and send it away. Maybe I just tell all of those thoughts, just be quiet for now and I'll be back later. We'll have plenty to do. Orange is the color, or yellow is the color of the mind. I still and quiet my mind. Now, having left my three outer bodies behind, I next visualize the color green. And this moves me into the higher spiritual realm, for green is the color of peace. I feel peace welling up deep inside me even now. Warmth of peace fills my very being. I actually visualize myself communicating in a peaceful way, my voice, my body language, my actions. And in this way, I notice that other people respond to me in a peaceful way. And this spreads beautifully throughout the entire world. In this way, I can see how my peacefulness can affect world peace. Peace, peace, peace. Peace fills my very being. Green is the color of peace. But whenever I want to become peaceful, loving, and kind, I simply visualize this most beautiful and brilliant green color. And this opens the door into the higher vibration, the angelic realm, that of love. I visualize the most brilliant blue color, blue like the sky that surrounds us. This natural blue fills and permeates my very being. For blue is the color of love. Love is the outward centrifugal force of the universe. Whenever I need more energy to perform any task set before me, I need only take action, beginning with my essence, which leads to my ideas, which leads to my thoughts, which leads to my emotions, which leads to my motivation, which leads to my action in life and brings energy, for that action is love, the outward centrifugal force. I allow this love to move through my life to produce my light to the world. Blue is the color of love, the outward centrifugal force, the energy force of all that is. This now brings me closer to the center of my being, and I visualize the color of purple. Purple is the color of aspiration. I transcend all thinking. I go beyond all thought. I simply know. I know that soon I shall be at the center of my very being. I no longer need to make decisions. I go beyond decisions. I go into pure knowing, choice. I even know that I know. And this moves me into the center of my being, that most beautiful, still, and holy place. I am now centering myself. I am at the holiest of holy, the center of my very being, the energy source of my physical world. And I need only be silent for these next few moments and go wherever it is that Spirit leads me to go. Peace. 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 Peace, 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 peace. Soon I know I must come back to the everyday world. I allow myself these next few moments to complete my journey, as this is all the time it will take. And to begin my journey back now, I visualize the colors of the rainbow in reverse sequence, beginning with the color violet, moving upwards and outwards to purple, upwards and outwards still to blue, color of love, upwards and outwards still to green, yellow, orange, and red. I open my eyes. I'm enthused. I'm enriched. I'm enlightened with the information, the knowledge within. I just am. Now just do what I call check in. Notice your surroundings. Is there any looking any different? Notice your four bodies mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Just notice where it is. No judgment, no criticism, no accolades. Just simply notice. Many people see colors, some people get inspirations, some people go into a void, some just see a darkness, a black. Some are deluged with visions. Sometimes you get a clear, viable sentence. Everybody's different. What I do know is that each and every time you do this, that you do get what your higher self is looking for. And that if you're quiet enough and you're willing to act upon whatever it is that you heard, you will notice your life start to change. And then you can also apply the fun joke of everybody around you. You can say, my, how you've changed since I've changed. And it's a fun thing to do, because what has happened in those kind of instances is that you have actually shed your perceptions in favor of just simply viewing the truth of the moment. So if anybody would like to share this, their experience first, that would be wonderful. And we did have someone else join us. The 587 number.
Yeah, Greg, it's Tim and Christine.
Beautiful. Hi, Tim and Christine.
Hi. Hi, Greg.
Wonderful. Timothy, would you like to share what happened for you?
So every time I go to that place where I'm centering myself, I always come out more grounded, a sense of, as you've communicated several times, peace, clarity. So the things that bothered me before the meditation, before the grounding, seem to fade. And unfortunately, let me rewind. But I notice that feeling fades quickly when I get back into the real world. But for me now, even sitting here with Christine, I'm very, it's very serene. We're at work and we just left a meeting, but the center, that leaves all the tension that I may have brought into the room or other activities, that's all outside this room right now. So I remain kind of tingly, but feeling very grounded, very in tune.
Mm. Wasn't one of those contentious meetings, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Tim and I had a little experiment. You want to tell them about it?
So I've been working with Greg since 2009, and some years ago, I was working with a client. I'm a consultant, and I was working with a client who I either created it or I bought the fact that colleagues were building up, and there was a meeting with executives, and we all drank the Kool-Aid, so to speak, believing that the meeting that we were going into was going to be contentious, that there was going to be words said and, you know, furniture thrown and whatever else you can create with regards to contentious. It's very interesting how that belief took me out of being centered. But what it provided me, if I fast forward to how Greg is impacting me these days, is really seeing that contentious meeting or realizing, you know, what I've learned from that, which is I can create a contentious meeting. So going into that meeting, I was the creator. I created the contentious meeting. I could have just as easily created a productive, a calm, interaction, connecting with other persons in the room and having a very efficient, effective meeting. But in that moment, I believed this is really going to be bad. You know, I abandoned love for fear and stayed with that feeling. And when I brought that to Greg, we had quite a laugh about making these meetings contentious. It's what you make of it. Every meeting can be contentious if that's how you position yourself. Every meeting can be a very productive connection with your colleagues if that is where your mind is or what you, how you set your intent.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It goes to something else that I was talking with Veronica a while ago. We've got two Veronicas on the call, incidentally. Veronica Mander and Veronica Schultz. I'm talking about Veronica Mander. Veronica, you said something the other day. You said, I'm really doing well, and I know that I have a long way to go. Now, would you like to say something different about that now?
Well, each day I know that I'm healing. My body's healing every day. Each day is better than the day before.
Yeah. You see how when Tim was going into the meeting saying this is going to be contentious, therefore it was. Now he can go into a meeting and say this is going to be productive and effective. And that opens the door for that. So you say, this, I have a long way to go. I was teasing with Veronica before everybody else got on the phone. I said, you know, there's one way to really grow fast, you know, and that's to quit doing the things that stop you. Now, it sounds so simple, you see, and here's one of the things that stop us. You say, oh, I have a long way to go. And the answer to that is, if you say so. Just like, this will be a contentious meeting. So, well, if you say so. This is the kind of power that we have. And we mindlessly use that power. What we're working towards is doing it mindfully. So if I say, hey, Veronica, how you doing? And now, if I remember the conversation, it had something to do, if I may, Veronica. Is that okay if I talk about this?
Okay.
It's that last, the statement about, and I have a long way to go, was the last one. It was like one of those trailers where, just like Tim was mentioning, you're in a meeting or we're doing this centering. If you're warm and fuzzy, you step outside and the world smacks you in the head and then it kind of goes away really quick, you know. And you say, this was, everything is wonderful. I've achieved this. I've achieved that. I've achieved this. And I have a long way to go. See, that's the brain kicking in. Right at the last minute. And it's with good intention. Everything has a use. We talked about that a little bit a while ago. And it's like the use of that is you say, I see just then that I'm doing one of those things that stops me from growing, from achieving my goal. I just said, and it's going to take a long time. And behind that statement could be things like, maybe what I could do is ask Veronica, what was behind that statement? Do you recall? Or could you make up some for us now?
It's an old belief.
Sure.
Or it's just an error in your thinking. It's what I have programmed myself to think over all my years. So it was almost like it was said without even really thinking about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's this mindless thinking rather than mindful. I was at a Buddhist retreat for 8 days just recently, and we walked around a tree for I think it was about 100 years. it seemed like it, and it was called mindful walking and being mindful of the tree and what it represented to us and what it was and what a beautiful living force it was and how we could exchange our energy with this tree. And we would hold a what they call a mudra with our arms spread out wide, and it was difficult to hold after a while until I started communing with the tree. Then I didn't feel the pain. I didn't feel the fatigue. I didn't feel the stinging of the muscles holding in the same position for so long. See, all of that was just a conversation. Being tired is a conversation. I could give you one of my own examples, but it'll expose me a little, but I guess I'll have to do it. I'm sitting, like, you know, on a bench outside. I'm tired. I'm not really too interested in doing anything. And I'm thinking, hey, I'll go home and take a nap, just relax for a little while. And then I happen to see some very smart-looking woman walk by, and all of a sudden I'm full of energy and ready to meet somebody new. Where did that energy come from? How did that happen? How did I go from being nearly lethargic to, yeah, let's go? See, our brain's really smoking up on this one. See, think simply. Unthink simply, I should say. We have this hunger, you know. We have this hunger for the truth. And sentences is like at the end that end off with, and I have a long way to go, will dissuade us, but they will also give us the opportunity to see, oh yes, I still have a few things to clear. I don't need to be loyal and try to be true and try to be honest about something that I made up that isn't true. In fact, that's what Veronica referred to a little while ago, or Tim too, says error thinking. It wasn't the correct thinking. Is something we made up. So how do you gain that energy? You just make it up. You changed your mind. Now, a few years ago, as a macho twit, I would have said, women do it all the time. And it is a deeper meaning to that statement. You see, I'm stating a simple truth as I saw it, but what that really means is they pay attention to their intuition. They're closer in tune. So when they say, oh, their brain says, I'm going to do this, and their heart goes, excuse me. Here's what's true about this, and here's what we're going to be paying attention to. You say, ah, I've changed my mind. Now, wouldn't it be nice to just be able to accept that? This is a simple reality. What if the basic choice was joy? This is why it's so important to go back to view your perfect self, to make it a habit, to converse with it, to have it just as you might converse with that little gremlin that is always beating you up and criticizing you. You've made that up. You don't have any trouble doing that. And the only difference between changing your mind and viewing your own brilliance is changing your mind. Oh, I heard you. You said it's going to take a long time. It's going to be contentious. And guess what? We're going to change that. That's a great phrase. We use cancel clear, or as Tim used, let me rewind. One of my favorites is let me reframe. Just whatever works for you. So here's what I'm wanting to put across to this whole conversation. It says there's deep spiritual principle, and we're rolling them off our tongue as though they don't mean anything. And the only things that mean something are that which doesn't work. but it grabs our attention. That's why when you turn on the news, that's what you see. So wouldn't it be wonderful to say, oh, gee, Tim changed the course of his whole company by walking in and creating peace and harmony. And that spread like a wildfire through the company. Oh, gee, I decided to heal today. And it actually begins to manifest. And whatever it is that comes up for us that says, and if you want to hear what those things are that stops you from, you know, getting what you want, just go buy a lottery ticket and listen to your brain as you're driving up to the place to go get it. How all the odds are against you, probably won't win. Same thing as throwing your money away. You've already told the universe, don't give this to me. That ring a bell for anybody?
Yes.
Now, there's a portion of this that says, I don't know, I forgot what I was going to say. This, I'll have to start over. Wake yourself up is what I'm saying. Really understand that people say, oh, I can't talk to this imaginary being my perfect self. I can't center myself every day. Then what is that argument for? And guess where it's coming from? Would that be your, heart relinquishing power? Or would that be your brain? You see how simple this is. So in the modules that you listen to, you hear these higher principles, and then the idea is then to reduce it into this simplicity and then make it work in your life. But it does take practice, remember. All the time that you're not practicing this, you're practicing what you have, those programs that Veronica was talking about. And we all know them quite well. They run us. So the idea is to step outside that, take charge. There are some things that I know about people here you've taken charge of quite admirably. And then practicing them is what makes the difference between walking out of this warm, fuzzy place and allowing the drift to take over again, which would be all of the thought forms that are floating around in the air that are unintentional and intentional. All of the radio waves, the microwaves that are all over the place. And I will tell you that you are probably the most proficient antenna ever built at the universe. You are collecting, knowing, passing through this information all the time. You get to decide, like a radio station, what dial you get to tune to. You can tune to pain, misery, despair. You can tune to stillness. You can turn to disgust. You can turn to joy. You can turn to productivity. You can turn to serving. Does anybody like to vent? You know, you call up a friend, you go have coffee, go way, way, way. I'm told by a lot of people that it's a wonderful thing to do. I've caught myself doing it sometimes. What happens after you do that? It's like taking one of those intense seminars. You feel all warm and fuzzy, except this one you feel all yucky and awful. And you say, ah, that felt good. I got rid of it. But then you walk away, and guess what? That comes back. You see, you're still practicing that which doesn't work. So if my attention is on what doesn't work, that's what I'm going to have. If my attention's on what does work, then that's what I'm going to have. Kind of like in Harry Potter, where they said, don't say the evil person's name, because then it brings that whole energy into your consciousness. I would say people who like to talk to me, you know, when they first get on with me, and you have all kind of experiences, you might say, oh, I want to tell you all my problems. And you might notice that I cut you off kind of quickly. Like you got all of this energy that's schmutzy, you know, and you want to schmutz it on me, then I've got it, and I've got to get schmutzed, and I'm going to get schmutzed on someone else. No, I'm saying I'm going to take that domino and send it back the other direction. Now, I'm not saying not to be compassionate about these things, and yet I don't want to be compassionate to that error of thinking or what other mice might be called a lie. What I want to be compassionate and nurturing about is finding the cause of that in such a way that we can simply reflect upon it through a positive discussion. So we have things that are going on in our life, and we have a certain perception of them. What if you took a broader and bigger perspective? And just recently, I took a broader and bigger perspective of being upset with my sister and brother-in-law because they have all of these beautiful things available to them, and my sister needs these things in order to function, and they're not using them. Then actually complaining about it and not knowing that that's what they're doing. And I thought, oh man, this is really something. They're so blessed to be able to be in a position to purchase and have what they need to make her life easier, and yet then don't use it. And I was frustrated, and I left here, and I thought about it. I said, well, everything has a use. What did that teach me? And I looked around at my life and said, how many times did I set things up for a magnificent win and turn my back on it? Went in another direction. And I started seeing where I had done that, different aspects of my life, and how in some places it was continuing still to run me. And then I realized, what a blessing, how wonderful it was that they decided to pull that chip when we were up there writing our scripts before we dove into some little fetus somewhere waiting for us, and all signed up for this before we came and endured the hardship of allowing these things to happen in such a way that we could evolve and see the error of our ways. I love hearing this silence. So I'm purposefully, and I want you to realize that this is all within everything that you can do, is to interject these higher principles with your daily activities in such a way that it totally toasts and fries your brain, in such a way that you have to resort to the all-knowing of your entire body, which is not just your brain, but your entire body, most specifically your heart, that you begin to make choices that actually work, that serve you beyond. Just pull up any questions for anybody. I'll try to be silent.
Greg, you talk about practicing this, you know, meditation and centering. Is there a right time to do centering? Is there a mornings, evenings?
Great question. This is brilliant. I'm probably a little bit of an exception to some rules, but I would tell you we all are. And that is to do what works best for you. Now, the consensus around meditating is early in the morning, starting the day, prior to eating at lunchtime, prior to eating at dinner time, and or just before you go to sleep. You'll find you'll have a very nourishing and beautiful sleep. I found that my life at the time when I was learning this was very busy. And, of course, my conversation was no time. So, of course, I created no time. So I said, well, I've got to do this exercise. I've got to practice this. So instead of saying I keep my eyes closed for peace and quiet, I would say I keep my eyes open for safety and well-being. And I would go through this process of centering while I was driving in my car, because I spent a lot of time in my car. And it worked. And it had an interesting side effect. Well, several side effects. One is, when I would center, because I'd be driving maybe to present a contract or construction or something, I had like 100%. Nobody told me I wouldn't build for them. And I would be presenting contracts up to $800,000 of some of the houses I built. And every single time, and when I centered before I went in, I got the contract. Another beautiful side effect was I began to learn how to focus my mind. Remember I told you about tuning your mind, tuning into where, what station you want to hear. So no matter what was going on in my head, and I can tell you there was lots of stuff going on in my head those days, I would actually be able to tune it out. And I could remember fighting it. I'd say the first two words, I now prepare, and then boom, I was someplace else. I had to start over. And I had to start over, and I had to start over. And I could remember days that I couldn't get past the color red. I was so in this state of being of what I would call chaos, or what's actually known in the chakra world as, it's not hysterical in the sense that I'm being hysterical, but the energy is hysterical, meaning I'm looking outward for my answers instead of inward. And what it looks like energetically is there's all these strings of light coming out of you with hooks at the ends of them, and you're trying to hook on something else or grab someone else's energy, and it never does work. I must go inside. So I spent a lot of time in my car centering, and after a while I would be driving nails, you know, and sawing wood, and I would be going through the centering in my mind. And the side effect that was most important throughout that whole process was I learned how to focus. I learned how to tune the station. This is what it takes. Our brain kicks in and says, oh, this will never work. Oh, it's going to be a long time. Oh, I've got a long way to go. Or I can't afford that. I've got to spend more time over here. Or, gee, the children need me. We just go on and on. If you don't want to do anything or something, any excuse will do. And if you want to do something, any excuse will do. So if you really want to get inside, you want to make this you want to make this your life. Whichever one works for you. That's why I put so many in there into the program. It's like, and there's more. Oh boy, I've got some beautiful things coming now. But it's like, this is how it is. You must practice. And you must have the courage to be who you are, to be outrageously who you are. That's what works. That's what takes the attention, that takes the heart, that also opens the door when you're speaking the truth. Then other people have permission automatically to speak their truth. I'll give you a great example of that. It's, as a matter of fact, it's a seminar I would like to be at right now that you're a friend of mine. And we call each other dear friends, but we know we like each other. Well, I respect and love who he is, but the way he goes about things is so different than the way I do that it's difficult for us to be in each other's company. He's a massive controller kind of a person, and I'm a massive supporter kind of a person, and we just have different ways of going about the same results. And so I went to a seminar kind of begrudgingly, and we both had the same teacher, Alexander Everett. And he was coming back into the room on the second day, and he looked very upset. And I said, gee, what's wrong? And he said, well, he said, that person that we had speak yesterday turned into an MLM guy, and he's trying to sell people, and people are upset. And I said, well, you know, Joe, I said, people would would complain sometimes if you hung them with a new rope. That's just how it is. People are going to complain. I mean, there should be in a place by the time they meet you or me or people like us, they say that they understand they can make a choice. That's why they're in one of these places to begin with. And so not to worry about it, you know. And then I looked at him. I said, you know, Joey, I never really cared for you that much. I really respect what you're doing. And he kind of grinned and he said, the feeling's mutual. And there was this dead silence. And then we both hugged for about 3 or 4 minutes. And it changed our lives. We're now able to be around each other. We're now able to look past how it is, our outward mode of expression, and really and truly listen to each other's hearts. And changed our entire lives and our entire communications. What if you just did that every day? Now, the brain's going, well, how am I going to do that if I don't know what the truth is? Well, you tell your brain just to be quiet a little while and it'll come. You just stop doing what doesn't work. It's so devilishly simple. But have the ability to laugh at yourself. Who cares? People, think about it. Do you remember when people really made fools of themselves? Do you remember moments of pure embarrassment that somebody else had? How many of those could you count in your life, if you remember any at all? And yet we think the whole world, God, we make one mistake and the whole world's going to know. Just all in our minds. Anybody else have anything they'd like to share or bring up or ask or talk about? Anything you're dealing with, any challenge that's going on? We have just a few minutes left here. Well, I totally toasted your brain. Someone's at the door.
Yeah, just excuse me for a minute.
So that was Veronica. She's in Brisbane, Australia. And there's another Veronica from California. And well, we've got Colorado and where's everybody right now? Where are you at now, Tim?
We're in Calgary, Canada.
Calgary, Canada. Okay. So, Tim, this is your first time on here.
Oh, sorry, I'm back.
Ah, very good.
Yes.
I was just going to pull Tim out of the woodwork here. See if there's any thoughts or offerings for us.
I've just got one question. When you are just traveling through your day-to-day life and you feel challenged by something, in the past I've often vented that frustration or whatever. But half the time, because everything happens quick and you're busy, you just don't, you're sort of reacting to what is. So how do you respond to that in a different way in that moment?
Brilliant. This is a really good question. There's two things that I would say about this. Is one, with practice, you'll be able to get back into a quiet and centered space. You might, after, you know, the original long version of centering, for example, is like about 25 minutes, I think 27 minutes. And then there's a short version, it's, you know, 10 or 12 minutes, there's even a shorter one of 7. And then pretty soon you just visualize the rainbow and pow, you're there. Now, what happens is that once we start feeling a little off, our brain wants to kick right in and say, I can fix this. And it's like there's a fire there. Instead of putting out the fire, you throw a blanket over it. And then the blanket catches fire and you throw newspapers because that's all you've got. And it creates even a bigger fire. And then newspapers catch fire and you reach for the first jug and it's usually gasoline. Some people call that fanning the flames of love, you know, where we get into an escalated situation so quickly. And before we know it, we're engulfed in it. And then the second that you notice it, you say, instead of saying, oh, what a jerk, I did this. You say, wow, I get to fix this. I get to repair it. I get to reframe. I get to start over. I get to rewind. And I get to do this again. You see, and then you resolve it immediately. Now, that's the part that really makes it work, not just noticing and then going about your business. So, because in that noticing, you're with the energy, that dissonance that, you know, got you there in the first place. Okay?
Because it is about diffusing that energy.
Yes. So having a mechanism to do that, to maybe you'll have a picture of a rainbow nearby, you can pull it out and you see the seven levels of consciousness. Or maybe you have this trigger where that when you do that, you can, you know, stamp your foot, stand a certain way, get up, change your position, wherever it is that you are, ergonomically, physically, mentally, drink a glass of water and say, just let me get back to zero here, let me get started over again, or at least start the dominoes in the other direction. Ideally, just simply visualize, I think we've all done this before, that ball of light in the center of your heart, run it down to the center of the earth, let it come back up, go all the way to the center of the sun, and just completely, and it's going to seemingly take every bit of your brain power that you have. Mm. And to that I say, yes, because it can no longer focus on that which doesn't work.
Mm.
Okay? I know in some of the healing work that I've done, and my brain starts to wander, and I think I shared with Veronica why, but I'll leave that one alone for now. And it's just, I'm human, you know, and so then I realize, wait a minute, I'm picking up this energy from that person, or I have to handle this myself. And to do that, I began doing some chants, and I chanted in Sanskrit because that took a lot of extra energy from me. And then I could actually still drift, so I would chant two songs at the same time. I actually got up to four chants at the same time so that my brain absolutely does not have time to wander. I am in control of it now. And then all of a sudden, I'm back together again. And I'm not even aware that I have to chant or still need to chant or even was. I'm back in the moment, okay? Now, there's a story about two doctors that went fishing, and they're by the stream, and it's late, and so they're going to just, you know, get in their tents and go to sleep and rest when they hear this little voice screaming in the river, and there's somebody, you know, caught in the river. So they go swim out and grab this person back, give them mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Just before they're done, there's two more people in the stream. And they rush out and they go get these two more people and they bring them back, you know, and mop them up. And no sooner they can get them done, there's four more people in the stream, and so on and so on. Mm. You see, how we run our lives, you see, we're so busy drowning over here that we can't go upstream to see who's pushing us in. Mm. So this is how we're running our lives. So the idea is to get yourself clear, to clean the slate, to begin over again, to start from a place of neutral, where there are no thought processes running you, and that's the place when you're centered, when you're in your heart, into that beautiful tiny space of your heart.
Mm.
And you start there. The heart has no questions. The brain has no answers. Now, when we get to this place, and we do need to use our brain to get there, isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to leave it behind. We need it, and especially when we decide to take action upon that which we've just found out. Yeah. and we take action on it, that's the part where most of us stop. But see, we're down at the 1 yard line and we go, oh, we better go home. No, step over the line, give it a whirl, see what happens. It's still just open space like the rest of the field. There's no brick walls or monsters or death and destruction on the other side. Unless you want to count the destruction and the death of those thought forms that were stopping you from doing it in the first place. I'll leave you with one thing here. When I went to visit Sai Baba in India, this avatar, and I spent a number of weeks on his ashram, just a little over, under a month, and I didn't know that he was a destroyer god. Well, at first my brain went, oh, gee, a destroyer god. Well, I'm like, God, I'm in trouble. I'm in his clutches here. Well, no, see, he destroyed ignorance. Ignorance being the false, how's that go, fear, a false events appearing real. He destroyed it completely. So change your mind this week. As soon as you discover that you're feeling a little off, a little tired, a little this, a little that, what brings you back? Reading the funny pages in the newspaper, looking at a beautiful, a very fun comedy on television, remembering a beautiful joke, visiting a wonderful, beautiful, lighthearted person, going out into nature. The second you realize it, what is more important than that? If you're in pain and you're trying to get something done, or if you're out of sorts and you're trying to get something done, you've just multiplied the time factor that it's going to take you. So why not take that time, get yourself together and centered, and then come back in a few seconds, resolve the situation. That's how quickly it works. So excellent, excellent questions. Well, my beloved, this is wonderful. I appreciate you all being here. I love you all. And I am so delighted how everybody is doing. It is just amazing. Look into your hearts. Realize the gods and goddesses that you are, the spirits, the multiple spirits, however it is that it is for you. Know that it exists. Believe and trust in yourself. And watch the world change in front of your eyes. So may the blessings of God be upon you. May God's peace abide deep within your soul. May God's presence truly illuminate your heart now and forevermore. Have a wonderful week. God bless.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Gregory.
Thank okay. you. You bet. Bye-bye.
Hello.
Oh, is that you?
Oh, hi. Yeah.